You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Razorback football practice marches on. The Razorbacks went through another drill on Thursday morning. They'll practice Friday morning before their final scrimmage of the preseason Saturday. We had a chance to talk this morning with Barry Odom, the Arkansas defensive coordinator. A rarity getting to talk to coordinators just a couple of times a year when Odom comes into the interview room and takes the stage. And so he spent about a little over 30 minutes answering questions this morning. We'll kind of hit on those today with Andrew Joseph and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. I'm Matt Jones. And Scotty, Barry Odom kind of has he's an old SEC head coach. He kind of has a way of saying a whole lot without giving too much away, like I guess some good coaches do. But you were able to glean, some things out of him this morning. Just kind of what were your takeaways from the time that we spent with him and what he had to say?
Yeah, I think one of the big stories, at least of like the last week, has been the emergence of Terry Hampton. I know we talked about him quite a bit yesterday. He really likes Terry Hampton a lot. And, he's made a lot of strides in the last, probably four or five, six practices. But he just, he says that, it doesn't really matter coming from Arkansas State, what size school that you come from, if you've got like a want to and a willingness to get better and improve. And he's made some impressions, I think, on the staff, like I said, recently. But Barry thinks that, he can still be a lot better than he is right now. And I think that's always the hope. You get a guy in your program, you see him make some developments in his game, but there's always room for improvement. I don't think anybody's ever really satisfied with their play or their game. They can always do something better here or there. I think he mentioned Cam Ball is another guy that's made pretty good strides in the last 2 days. And then Nico DeVillier, another guy that, maybe gives them a little bit more confidence in their depth at tackle. I mean, he's really, really young, really raw, but he's got really, really good size, I think. And then, Barry, in addition to running the entire defense, I think he spends quite a bit of time with Arkansas safeties. And he said that, Jalen Catalan and Simeon Blair have, a really good synergy between them. And just in terms of communication, and then, guys that can go make plays. Obviously Jalen's probably the obvious better playmaker than Simeon, but I think Sim is just, he's consistent, and he's to the point now, according to Barry, that, they're having conversations. Maybe he's joking, maybe he's not, but I think Sim is interested in this. Barry thinks that Sim could be, probably a pretty good football coach when his playing days are done. And I always really enjoy talking to Simeon Blair because he walks in with a smile on his face, got a lot of really good personality, just a guy that I think his leadership has really grown over the years. And he was a guy that came from Pine Bluff. It was a walk-on, and he's really carved out a niche for himself in Arkansas. It's kind of cool to hear more about his progressions, and then maybe how he's, through playing football now, is kind of opening doors for him potentially in the future.
Speaking of that Barry Odom interview, we'll play a few clips now from his time with reporters this morning.
We've got a core group that really understand when we call a pressure, if there is a weakness, where it is the ball coming out quick, they get an understanding for it, and they've got an understanding for it. And they're a group that looks like they're veterans, and they've been in the system, and it's fun because they've been able to keep pouring things on them. We've got another heavy install going in tonight, and we'll go here the next few days with that, and then we'll start fine tuning on what we want to take into week one. You want to establish as close as you can your top 11, and then you want to establish who's the top 22, and really you look at it at this point. If we were playing Saturday, who can help us in what positions play winning football, and who's ready to go do that? And then, it's always about creating the guy behind them that there's competition, but also getting them game ready. And there's a difference between performing well in a scrimmage, and then performing well on September 3rd in front of 78,000 people. So a lot of discussions have got to take place between now and the end of Saturday. We won't base everything on just Saturday's performance of that scrimmage. It's a body of work.
If you want to see the full video with Barry Odom, you can go to our website, wholehogsports.com. You can also find it on our YouTube page. Just search for Whole Hog Sports. You know, you mentioned earlier, Scotty, about Nico and his comments about him. I thought those were really interesting because he's one of those few players that didn't come to campus for the spring football. And I'm talking about players who are high school seniors who didn't make it here for spring ball. And, you know, Odom said he's only been with us for about 12 practices. And he made the point that, you know, there's still another 15, 16 days before the first game. And they're really excited to see if he can continue to progress the way that he has in the first, you know, couple of weeks of practice. If he can continue to progress like that, what he might be in 2 weeks by the time, or 2.5 weeks by the time the Cincinnati game rolls around.
Yeah, like I mentioned before, he's got really, really good size, which obviously that when you're, you know, trying to come up with guys that can contribute, you want guys with good measurables and speed and hand, you know, hand work and good foot speed and all that. And I think Nico's got that. I think Eric Gregory said that Nico reminds him of himself a little bit, just the way that he came in, maybe a little bit on the heavier side than maybe what they would want. But, you know, you go through these practices in the heat, you know, the likelihood of you dropping a few pounds is pretty high. So I think that could be maybe beneficial for him. But it was interesting hearing Barry talk about Nico, just in the fact that, like you said, he wasn't here in the spring. And so Arkansas is through 12 practices in camp. That's the whole of Nico's college experience. And I think Barry said that he was a little bit surprised by the progress that he's made to this point. But I think it's a credit to Nico just kind of being a sponge, following instruction and, you know, carrying, you know, maybe the tips and tricks and just a little anecdotes that Deke Adams is teaching that whole defensive line. I think they're seeing that kind of translate to the field and giving them some optimism, you know, maybe that he might be able to pitch in some areas, might be special teams this year, might be more along the defensive line in future seasons. But I think there's really a lot of optimism in him and, you know, reasons to be excited about what he could provide in the future.
One of the other things that I thought was interesting that he was asked was about the wide receivers, and is basically asked, can you be specific about which receivers are standing out to you? And, you know, the names that he mentioned, I think three, he mentioned Matt Landers. He said, you know, his speed is a difference maker. He said that he's got a great catch radius and was, you know, very complimentary of Matt Landers, as we've heard a lot of people who have come into the interview room have been throughout this preseason. And then he mentioned Jaden Hazelwood and Warren Thompson by their numbers. And so those are three receivers, all of them kind of interesting, are transfers in. But those are three receivers that we just continue to hear a lot about. And there seems to be a lot of excitement about what they might be able to add to the offense this year.
Yeah, I think Matt Landers is a guy that came in, and I don't think many had known much about him at all, or maybe the expectations were fairly low for him coming in. And it just seems like they've skyrocketed just because of the praise that we've heard. And his size and his speed, when you see him up close, he looks the part of an NFL receiver. I mean, he's huge, 6'5", and then he's got easy speed. And he just looks like a guy that is going to make a name for himself on Saturdays.
Yeah, and I know when Simeon and Jaden Johnson came in for interviews, that's kind of what I was interested in finding out, just kind of in the same way that Cody Kennedy was like asking his offensive line, so who are the dudes on the defensive line? Just Cody's hyper focused on, you know, what his offensive linemen are doing, but his linemen actually have to go against these guys. I think it's always interesting to get insight from defensive backs. And I think Jaden Johnson said that he's matched up quite a bit with Isaiah Satania. And he said that Satania's been giving him some pretty good work, making him, you know, really strain during reps. I can't imagine that it's, you know, super easy or super exciting to see Isaiah Satania line up, you know, across from you when you know that, you know, all the talent and physical ability in that body of his. I think Simeon Blair said that he really liked Keytron Jackson. I would imagine those two see quite a bit of each other, just because Keytron's a deep ball threat and Sim, you know, sometimes has to play, you know, maybe kind of that last line of defense at his safety position. And I think Warren Thompson is a kind of a forgotten guy. I don't want to say he's altogether forgotten, but there's been so much hype around Hazelwood and some things that Keytron Jackson's doing. Obviously, Matt Landers has been maybe one of the most talked about guys in camp so far. But Warren Thompson, I think, is he's improved maybe as much as anybody in that receivers room. He can be a real scary threat.
One of the other things that Odom mentioned today about the wide receivers, he said that their blocking in their perimeter drills has been really good and has been something that he's been excited to see from the standpoint that he wants his offense to do well. Of course, he coaches defensive backs. Scotty, one of the things I know that really caught your eye this morning during practice was that the defensive backs were going through some of those drills with boxing gloves on. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was pretty unique. I remember it's just, you know, it's kind of just a way to spice up a drill that's already, you know, pretty entertaining and kind of intriguing. You know, today, Sam Pittman, you know, let us stay in practice from periods 1 through 6. We normally get 1 through 3 or 1 through 4. So we got to see some drills that we normally wouldn't get to see. One of them was those one-on-ones in the red area. And it was pretty fun to watch some of those matchups. Like I know Keytron Jackson, Matt Landers, Warren Thompson, Bryce Stevens, I think, had a couple nice grabs. Quincy McAdoo really flashed. And I think his catch was it was a contested ball, I think, in the right back corner of the end zone. Hudson Clark was in really tight coverage. I think his man-to-man coverage game has really improved maybe since last year. But those boxing gloves prevented Hudson Clark from coming up with a pick. And I think that really set the defensive backs off, obviously, because they want to come up with, you know, as many takeaways as they can. But Quincy McAdoo basically snatched the ball from Hudson Clark through those boxing and gloves. Simeon Blair had a nice pass breakover. He basically just he jumped a route and basically just punched the football with his right hand, I think, with the boxing gloves. So that was kind of interesting. Just I follow some Auburn writers, beat writers on Twitter, and I think they did they had a practice where they did some similar things with, I think, defensive linemen and defensive backs. You know, just I think as a defensive back, you're going through camp, you know, going through maybe a particular game and you're a little bit winded. I think it's easy to, when you're playing man coverage, just latch onto a guy to, you know, help him or to prevent him from, you know, maybe running by or giving up a big play. So that just the boxing gloves, I think, are a good way to eliminate that. It was the first time they'd done that in camp. I remember last spring, I think it was spring 2021, when Sam Carter was Arkansas's position coach in the secondary. He had the defensive backs go out the first couple of days of spring with, you know, kind of blinders, like literal blinders on. They had, you know, they taped off kind of the parts of the face mask where you kind of use your peripheral vision. And so that just, I think all those quirks, they just help just make your technique a little bit more sound, move your feet a little bit better, keep your eyes where they're supposed to be. So that was definitely, I think that added a layer of intrigue to a period today that whenever we get to see it is, you know, already pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I kind of like when they throw in these little interesting quirks to kind of keep it entertaining. And obviously they wouldn't do something that they didn't think benefited the football team in the long run. But even more than just helping the technique, I think it keeps players engaged. And I mean, it's the 12th day of camp and you're doing the same drills over and over again. I mean, it can get a little repetitive just watching it. So I can't imagine having to do the same things every day in, day out, and just kind of adding these flares kind of keeps them from maybe being bored and keeps their focus on to the drill.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is presented by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas, where you always get the best service and the best buying experience in the state.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area next Wednesday, August 24th, come to the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. We'll have Sam Pittman on hand. We just announced that. He'll be there giving an update on his team. We'll do some Q&A with him. And it's always a fun time to have the coaches come to the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. You can really learn a lot about their teams. You'll get a lunch. You'll be in and out of there in about an hour. If you want to come see Sam Pittman or Hunter Yurecek on September 7th, you can go to one of our sister websites, nwadealpiggy.com. That's nwadealpiggy.com. Sam Pittman on August 24th and Hunter Yurecek on September 7th at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. Each day on our preseason podcast, we take a closer look at a different position group for the Razorbacks. And today we'll take a look at special teams. We had some special teams conversation yesterday because Scott Fountain, the special teams coordinator, had his interview in the media room. But we'll take a little bit closer look at that today. And Scotty, I think the main thing that stood out to me from listening to Fountain talk on Wednesday was that from a, you know, a position battle, it's really the, you know, the biggest position battle that they have. And gosh, maybe one of the biggest position battles on the team in terms of starters, because it feels like we know who a lot of the starters are at, you know, a lot of the different positions. Is it punter with Reed Bauer, a returner at punter? And then they bring in Max Fletcher, the scholarship punter out of Australia. I don't know what that tells you about the team, that punter is maybe one of your most entertaining position battles, but I think that's where the Razorbacks are.
Yeah, and it's obviously super important to be sound in all areas, including punter. I think that's a position, you know, maybe during the Bielema tenure, parts of Chad Morris, you know, that was kind of an area of concern where you would look up, you know, during a game, Arkansas's punted four or five times and your, you know, your average yardage is like 34, 35 yards. Like that's just not SEC caliber punting. And then Georgia would come in and Jake Camarda's in here, you know, he's basically throwing darts, punting the ball. And you just see kind of the gap, you know, between where Arkansas was and, you know, where some of the top special teams units are, some of the top punters are. It's super important because obviously field position plays a huge role in every game. And, you know, if you can win the field position battle, sometimes with your punter, other times with your, you know, your punt return, kick return game, you know, it all goes hand in hand. And obviously your offense is not going to score on every possession. So you got to find somebody that, you know, can couple, you know, good hang time with distance and, you know, has a good enough foot, but doesn't outkick their coverage too. I think that's really important. Reed Bauer there. I think he's probably, I always think it's noteworthy to see who is coming into the interview room, especially with special teams. You know, he brought Cam Little, who's, you know, he's the guy in terms of place kicking. And I think it's between him and Jake Bates, you know, in terms of kickoffs, which I think that's really important too, because you lost a guy like Vito Calabaruso from last year. I think he went to Wisconsin. Punt's a really big deal, but I think Scott Fountain feels pretty confident with Reed Bauer right now. And I think he came out of spring drills, you know, the leader for that starting job. And it doesn't sound like he's let go of it.
Bob Holt had a feature on Reed Bauer earlier this week, and you can find it on our website at wholehogsports.com. But it was basically that throughout his entire career, they've been bringing in punters who maybe the thought was would replace him, and he just keeps beating him out. It wasn't just that case at punter either. It was, you know, at the holder position, you know, when he didn't do very well as a holder early in Scott Fountain's tenure as special teams coordinator. And then lo and behold, last year, he ends up winning this award as the best holder in college football. Now, I think some of that had to do with the fact that he converted a couple of fake field goal attempts, including the one at Alabama that, oh, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 million people watched that happen live, maybe more. But you know, to Bob's point, and the point I think his article was making, is that Reed Bauer has really, you know, he's been in competition every year that he's been at Arkansas with players who in some cases have come in with really good credentials, and he's beat them out. And that's certainly the case again this year with Fletcher.
Yeah, just kind of talking about the importance of punting and having a good punter brings me back to the early St. Louis Rams days where I went with my dad, and they were god awful, but they had a great punter in Johnny Hecker. And so they would go three and out, and then Johnny Hecker would flip the field, and then the opposing team had to go 80 yards. I mean, it didn't matter how bad they were because he could kick it a mile. And so, I mean, when you have a weapon like that, that allows you to be good in all three sides of the game, in offense, defense, and special teams. And obviously the Razorbacks aren't near as bad as those St. Louis Rams were back in the day. So if they can flip the field more often than not, their defense is going to hold up for them, I would say.
I think Scott Fountain likes Reed Bauer a lot, and Scott even gave him a nickname. I think he called him Dark Horse Bauer, just because, you know, like to Matt's point, they bring guys in that, you know, might take his job, but he just finds a way. And obviously we don't pay super close attention to the specialists when we're on the field, because there's a little bit more action going on, even if there's not really more action going on. We don't pay just a whole lot of attention to that, but whatever Reed Bauer's doing, you know, it's resonating with Scott Fountain. And, you know, I think, yeah, it's definitely, I think, his job to lose, and just a super valuable part of special teams, just like Andrew said, just being able to flip the field, and it can change the outcome of a game.
I just think there's something to be said for a player who is routinely challenged and wins those competitions. I think it says something about him and maybe to how good of a football player he is, the fact that he can get on the field. Cam Little, 20 of 24 a year ago, field goal kicking. You know, Sam Pittman will probably tell you that probably only should have been 20 of 23. I think he felt bad about one of the positions they put him in the Auburn game, asking him to kick a long field goal at a certain point in that game. But a great season, a freshman All-America season. And I know there's a lot of good kickers in the SEC, but one of the things that I thought was really surprising was the fact that he wasn't on any of these preseason All-SEC teams that have a first team, a second team, and a third team. To me, Cam Little looks like the type of kicker who could potentially play in the NFL. I know that's putting a lot of pressure on his shoulders, and there's only so many of those jobs, and those kickers, they seem like once they get into the league, they stick around for 15 or 20 years. But to me, it just looks like it's such an, I don't know if effortless is the right word with him, but there's just a smoothness to his delivery, his follow through, that, you know, I think he's got the potential to be kicking for a long time. And it's just a little surprising to me that maybe he's flying under the radar of so many people based on the way that he kicked last season, and that kickers seem like they get quite a bit better from year to year.
I think kind of the same way that, you know, some of the best baseball players in the MLB, like a Mike Trout, for instance, just makes a really, really difficult part of the game just look so easy. I think Cam just has an effortlessness, like you said, to his game as well. And I remember last fall, I think we were starting to hear more and more about Cam and just his consistency. You know, didn't miss many kicks in camp. I think when he did, it was kind of a surprise to Sam and Scott Fountain. I remember asking, what is it that you like about Cam? And then Sam just held his fingers up. He's put his index fingers and his thumb just to kind of make an upright, and he just says he just shoots it, you know, just right through the uprights. And I think, you know, obviously I wanted a little bit more insight and detail into what makes Cam, you know, as good as he is, but I think that, you know, if you can put the ball through the uprights, I think that's really all you need. And the kid just, I think he's got ice in his veins too, and he's, you know, not afraid of a big moment. Obviously he came through and delivered for Arkansas and a couple of their big November games that, you know, helped them finish the season so strong. Just super consistent. And I think, you know, anytime you get, you know, within, you know, 45, 48 yards, sometimes even longer, I think you feel comfortable running Cam out there. And I think it was a huge deal for Arkansas to find somebody that was as reliable as a Cam Little, you know, post Connor Limpert, because, you know, Connor was so nails whenever he would run onto the field, he leaves. And then it's kind of like, now what? And does place kicking become a liability? Are you going to have to punt from like the 35, 40 yard line, or can you bring a kicker out and, you know, just automatically put 3 points up on the board? And I think that that's obviously what Cam has given him.
Yeah, to me, kicking's got to be one of the hardest jobs in football, not only because, you know, kicking the football is hard, especially as far as 50 yards, but the pressure that comes with the kicker position, I think, is something that is just would rattle and does rattle a lot of people. And I don't think Cam Little is one of those people, as we've seen, as he's hit already a game winner his freshman year. And I think he's just kind of got nerves of steel.
For sure. And I always like guys that play with a little bit of swagger too. And anytime you see a kicker, you know, with a little bit of flair, that always adds some intrigue. Curious to see what kind of celebrations he's going to pull out this year. I think he hit the gritty when he beat LSU last year, when the team was running to go find the boot. And then I remember when he hit a field goal against A&M, kind of acted like he was a basketball player holding his follow through. So the kid's got a little bit of swagger to him. I really like that.
I can tell you, after interviewing him this summer, or really late spring for our summer preview magazine, he can remember every single kick. It's amazing. It's perfect recall. He can remember where he was on the field. He can remember if it tucked inside the left upright, or maybe if it went right down the middle, or if it was just over the crossbar. He can tell you all of it. And the other thing that I thought was interesting was that he told me his goal for his freshman season was to make 85% of his kicks. And I think he made like 83 point something percent. And he said, so to him, it was a little bit of a letdown because he didn't hit that goal that he had. And I think that tells you a lot about what kind of kicker you're dealing with when you're talking about Cam Little. I think the sky is the limit for him as a kicker. I really do. It probably no surprise that he was one of the top ranked, if not the top ranked kicker. I think that if you look at different kicker rating services, I think he might have been number one in one, number two in another. Really highly recruited, and Arkansas gave him a scholarship, and that certainly made an impression on him, and that's why he's in Fayetteville right now. We talked yesterday, as it pertains to special teams, I think a lot of times you can see the athleticism, especially say like in your cover units, and where the teams that have recruited a lot better depth, a lot more quality depth, they're better in the special teams. And we think Arkansas is going to be better this year than they've been in the last 2 years. And they were better last year than they were the year before. But just based on the fact that they're recruiting some pretty high profile athletes now that might not make it onto the field in a first or second team offense or defense, but maybe they do make it onto the field in a starting role as a special teams player. But I tell you where I really think the speed is going to stand out, Scotty, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on this, is in the return game, and in particular the players who are going to be returning the ball. I mean, we've talked so much about these guys that have got great track accolades who have come in, whether it be an Isaiah Satania and AJ Green. There are some other players who are certainly, you know, really fast with the ball in their hands. It's interesting to see these names in the return game and kind of who's being looked at in these different roles, because I think that this is a much speedier team, and I think that can potentially manifest itself in the return game.
Yeah, absolutely. That was an area that Scott Fountain said, you know, especially in kick return, that's an area that, you know, he thinks Arkansas can be better this year. And, you know, he's got a couple running backs, you know, vying for that job with AJ Green and Rashad Dubinion. Obviously Isaiah Satania, you can throw him in there. Matt Landers, those seem like, you know, really logical options for that. I think AJ Green might be a guy that you see run out there in the first game and just kind of see how it goes. That's a position that they put him in last year just to kind of see if they could unlock his speed just a little bit. But he was playing just a little bit timid, just because, you know, he didn't have an entire fall camp just because of a concussion. Matt Landers doesn't exactly have a ton of return experience. chance. I think he had one kickoff return last year for 26 yards at Toledo. DeBinion had 205 yards and a touchdown his last season at Cedar Grove at Georgia. And Satania, I read he averaged like over 24 yards a return at Fayetteville, returned a kickoff for a touchdown, I believe, as a junior. So there's definitely some options there. And I think Sam Pittman, before the first official day of practice, said Ladarius Bishop might be an option there too. I guess you'd probably have to see just what kind of a role he's got in terms of is he a first team cornerback for you, or is he second team? You know, if he's maybe second team or third team, I could see him maybe getting some more looks there. Punt return, you know, that's a position that I think Arkansas really needs a, you know, kind of a game changing weapon back there. And I believe it was in 2020, Arkansas had 18 punt return yards and Nathan Perotti had 14 of them. So Arkansas's punt return game that year, Sam Pittman's first at Arkansas, it was also Scott Fountain's. It was kind of a mess. And then, you know, Treylon Burks, you know, battled some issues with, you know, letting punts roll. And then Nathan Perotti took over that job. And so I think what they found at punt return is, you know, Hazelwood is an option. Harper Cole is probably, I think I mentioned him yesterday, kind of a little known receiver, but Scott Fountain said that he's got some Perotti like qualities to him in that he's dependable. He's reliable. He's not going to drop the ball, not going to let it hit and roll, lose, you know, valuable yards in terms of field position. I think that's what they're looking for. They just want a guy that can, you know, that can secure punts. You know, you're not worried about him fumbling. And I think, you know, you got to have a guy that back there that's a little bit fearless. Like that's one of the last positions I would want to play in sports other than a goalie in hockey. Like, as you've got literally, what, 21 other people running at you, and you've just got to, you know, try to in some way keep your composure. So I think, yeah, punt return, kickoff return, they definitely need some more explosiveness there. I think Bryce Stevens is an option at punt return too. He had a couple couple of nice returns last year. I think it was against LSU and Arkansas Pine Bluff. Not just a huge sample to work with, obviously. And he was only there, I think he only returned that punt against UAPB because Nathan Perotti, I think he got pulled out of that game after he returned the punt for a score. So I think Harper Cole, it might be a really good option there. Bryce Stevens might be your number two.
I just think with as much as we've talked about the team speed that they've added and the team speed that they have, it would almost be, maybe disappointment is not the right word, but when you put a guy like Harper Cole back there simply because you think has the best hands and he'll be able to catch the ball. And I get that that's the most important thing. You can't return a punt unless you catch it first. But I think a guy like Bryce Stevens, who's shown that he can do that and has that game-breaking speed that you're talking about, and even Isaiah Satania, I think would be just a more exciting and more kind of electric option back there.
Maybe we don't pay enough attention to Harper Cole just because Arkansas has got so many, like three, four, five, six other dudes at receiver, but I do think he's got a little bit of wiggle to him. And I don't think he would, being reliable and dependable in terms of just catching the ball is one thing that can help you win that job, but you can't put a punt returner back there that doesn't have, you know, at least a little bit of elusiveness to him. And I don't think punt return is a place that you necessarily want to have Jaden Hazelwood. I know I was looking to see if Jaden Hazelwood had any punt return experience at Oklahoma, and he didn't, because CeeDee Lamb returned punts for them for a couple years, and I think Marvin Mims did it. So it's not necessarily crazy to put maybe your top receiver target, you know, at punt return, but I think you are taking a little bit of a risk by doing that.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons Sam Pittman said he didn't want Rocket Sanders returning kickoffs. So I wanted to go back to kickoff return for just a second, because you mentioned AJ Green. The roster lists AJ Green as 5'11". I don't know if I buy that. I think he's smaller than that. And I think I think that those short guys who return kickoffs, and maybe Dennis Johnson completely, maybe this comes from watching him return kickoffs for so long, but I'm of the opinion that if you've got a shorter player returning kickoffs and they've got speed, there's something about that that's really hard if you're on the cover team, because, you know, not only are you trying to find them as they're, you know, blazing across the field, but sometimes they can get behind those blockers and they can be kind of hard to find. And, you know, we've seen some of the best players who have been, you know, kickoff return guys at Arkansas have been some of those smaller kickoff return people. And, you know, Dennis Johnson's one that carries a lot of weight because he had such a great year or a great career as a kickoff returner at Arkansas. But Green kind of reminds me of Johnson, and I guess he intrigues me a little bit because of that.
Yeah, Dennis Johnson was a bowling ball too, and he was electric. I think that's you've got to find a guy that's got some juice to him with the ball in his hands. And obviously we saw a couple times, you know, AJ Green, I don't think played at near 100% last year, but we still saw flashes of some elusiveness and some electric things that he can do with the ball in his hands. And you mentioned Dennis Johnson. He was really fun to watch. 2017, Davion Warren, you know, racked up over 700 kickoff return yards. And so he's another guy that's kind of cut from the, just kind of, I guess, in that same mold of smaller guys that, you know, when they get behind, I guess their kickoff return shield or whatnot can be a little bit hard to spot. Then you throw in some speed and some elusiveness. I think that's a good formula to have.
So Tanya, a little bit of a smaller player too, 5'11". Best kickoff return guy ever at Arkansas was Felix Jones, 5'10". So I do think that there's something to that, having kind of those guys who are smaller in stature returning kickoffs. Doesn't mean he'll be the players that we've mentioned, but I think there's something to that in looking for smaller players to return kicks. That's why Matt Landers being back there, Scotty, kind of surprises me a little bit because he really stands out in the crowd.
Yeah, I think that's true too. I think one of the things you want with kickoff return too is just, I think you see a lot of running backs and maybe some of the smaller receivers like Davion Warren. I think that's why there's such prime candidates to do that job, is just because they've got really good vision too. And AJ Green, I think, he's a really good option to have, just because he's used to kind of running in a crowd, but also you get him in space and he can really do some special things.
On Friday, Kendall Briles and KJ Jefferson will come into the interview room, so we'll have plenty from their time on tomorrow's podcast. For Scotty Bordelon and Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us. Go to WholeHogSports.com to read our latest Razorback football content, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.